Today we're continuing our series on Moses, God and our journey, and how Moses walked through his journey, and we're going to compare it to ours. Now, I want to talk about some of these scriptures. Now, we're going to talk about Exodus chapter 35, verse 34 to 36 in just a little bit. But many times, how many of you have been in the Old Testament? You start reading it, and you go, this is as dry as Melba toast. Put your hand up. God will not smite you here. Come on, help me out. So you've never read Leviticus, where he talks about how you sacrifice an animal, how you kill it, how you cut it up, and how you spread the blood all over the altar. You've never read that one? Yeah, that's pretty exciting, right? I love that stuff, not because of the gore, but I love it because there's stuff inside that that's very exciting. But how many of you read the genealogies? So-and-so begat so-and-so, and you're like, oh, there's a lot of begatting going on back in that day, huh? And so, you missed it, but that's all right, you'll get it later. Listen to it on the podcast. So you read these things, and they're super dry, and you're like, God, why? And that's really all you have to ask. Why did you put that in there? Why do we need to know why do we need to know how to sacrifice an animal? Why do we need the sacrificial laws? And these lists are put in Scripture throughout the Old Testament. And there's times where you're like, if this would just end, I would be a happier person. My devotions would go a lot better. And these lists of building materials that we're going to read today, I bet you're excited about it. Why is that so spiritual? What's so spiritual about that? Well, that's where I love to dig in. That's where I love to find what God is actually saying. It's not about the lists. It's not about the lists. It's about the plan. It's about who's responsible, what is the reason for creating this list, and it's about how it is going to get done. And that, as I say it out loud, doesn't sound very exciting, but it is. And when I get to it, I'm going to let you know. It's also about God in the details. He cares about the little things as much as he cares about the big things. We tend to worry about all these other things going on in the world. So let's have a perspective check here. When we look at the politics of this world, we're so worried about what one leader is doing and how he's lipping off another leader. That's a big thing. But what we're not paying attention to is all the little things that are happening behind the scenes that you don't know about yet until they release the files. But there's other things happening, and you just don't know. Those are the important things. This is a big thing, yes. I don't know, and sometimes in life, the little things can mess us up more than the big things. Have you ever had that, where the little things mess us up? I've had it, where Michelle's like, man, why are you worrying about these little tiny things? You're really good with the big things, but the little things, you just lose it. Not all the time. Sometimes, where the little things just throw me off. I'm like, why is that? Well, little things matter. But the big things, I'm like, psh, I can deal with that. That's no problem. Maybe you're the other way. But in Exodus chapter 35 and part of 36, it's about God asking Moses to get God's people to build the tabernacle. It's like a building program. But woven in between these lists and the directions of how to do it stands out what we really need to pay attention to. And so I'm going to read portions of it. Because it is so heavy with lists, I'm going to just pull out chunks of it. You can read the rest of it if you wish to. So the first part, 35 verse 4. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing," keep that in mind, "is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, and ashia wood, I can't, that wood.
Olive oil for light. Why would you waste good olive oil for light? Put that on some bread, you'd be sailing. Olive oil for light. Spices for the atoning oil and for fragrant incense. Onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastplate. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tents and its coverings, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and base. Let's move to 20. The whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing, Mark, and whose heart was moved, pay attention to that, and whose heart moved them, came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its services, for its sacred garments, all who were willing, men and women alike. All who are willing. Everyone who's talented and has an ability. All who are willing. I could really go on a tangent on the women thing, but I'm not going to right now because we believe in women in ministry. We believe women are equal. But I'm not going to go any further than that. Oh, well, let's look at this next verse. And all the women who are willing. Thank you. And had the skill spun the goat hair. I don't know what that would be for. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems and to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. And then in 36 verse 2, it says, Moses summoned these two guys and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. I don't know if you sense a theme. Are you hearing it? A couple themes in there. I'm emphasizing them. After we've looked at this, we need to ask ourselves a few questions when we read this scripture. Because this can get lost in the lists of goat hair and stones and posts and pillars and bases and carpets, whatever else they're putting in the tent. You have to ask yourself the question when you read this, what does God want from us? Going to be good. Have you ever wondered what God wanted from you? Have you ever said, God, what do you want from me? Have you ever been in that place where you're, God, tell me, what do you want? And you feel like there's no answer. Well, guess what? Today, God is going to speak to you, and he's going to tell you a few things. Through his word, he's going to tell you what he wants from you. And then you got to figure out how you're going to do that. He doesn't tell us all. God wants you first to be involved. It's very simple. Out of all those lists, what is God really saying? He's saying, I want you to be involved. His plan is good, but you and I need to respond to this plan. Everyday Christianity can be easily put into backseat faith. You guys know what backseat faith is? It's kind of like armchair quarterbacking. Ever done that? Or, to put it in Canadian terms, armchair hockey coaching. Why do the Canucks keep doing the same things over and over again? Why do the Leafs suck so bad all the time? Christian's going to get that later, don't worry. But when you look at it, why did the coaches make those moves? Why did they trade that player? Why did they purchase this player when clearly he's not the one? It's easy to sit back and criticize. That's why I don't follow it as closely as I should, if I'm a real true fan. There are people that follow it very closely, but I can't handle it because I don't like silly decisions. And so I just like to watch them play the game. It's easy to sit back when the pressure is not on you and the pressure is not on me. And all we have to do is watch. There's politics in sports, there's politics in church, there's politics in a lot of things. And it's easy to sit back and point fingers. It should be this way, it should be that way. In church, we can sit and we can talk about what's wrong, or we can get involved and be a part of the solution. God wants you to be involved. He wants you to be involved. Whatever that is in your life, whatever God is, abilities he's giving you, he wants you to be involved. But you have to respond. I have to respond. There's no magic fairy that comes along and makes things happen and hits you with the little wand thingy and pew, hey, I'm involved and life is great and I'm doing my using my gifts. That doesn't happen. You have to do it. And if we sit there and wait for God to move, I'm here to tell you, God is already moving, with or without you. But he wants you involved. He wants you to be a part of it. And you need to be a part of that. Secondly, God wants us to offer what we have, not what we do not have. Sometimes we think, oh, if I could only sing like this, or if I could only, you know, cook like that, or if I could only be, then I could really, you know, be used by God, or if I could only, whatever it is you think that you don't have, fill in the blanks. God is asking. For some, it's resources or materials. For others, it's skills. You can see it clearly in those scriptures. Bring materials, bring resources, and bring your skills. If you don't have the skill or ability or the resources to offer God, then God is not asking you to give those. But I bet you something, that you have something that God wants you to use. I can guarantee you. And he sees it in you. If you do not have the gift of music, then I'm here to tell you, God is not asking you to use that gift. He's not asking you to use that gift if you don't have it. So don't be upset. If you do not have $1 million, then God is not asking you to give $1 million or 10% of $1 million to the church. If you don't have it, don't put that pressure on yourself. If you're not gifted in woodworking, then God is not asking you to build something out of wood. I am not gifted in woodworking. Therefore, I will not build things out of wood. Case in point, I tried to do crown molding once. I can demolish anything. Okay, so if you need a wall taken down, if you need a house destroyed, I'll do it. And I'll do it with excitement, and I'll get all my frustrations out on that wall or that house, and I will beat that thing down till there's nothing left. And I'll cut things, maybe don't need to be cut, but I'll do it anyways. I'm a bull in a china shop. I'll throw myself into walls. I'll do it all. But if you want me to put up crown molding and you want it to look like a hack, then I'm your man. If you want it to match up, don't ask. I don't have those skills. I can't do it. It frustrates me. I can pick up an instrument that I don't know how to play and figure out how to play it within an hour. You give me a saw and a hammer, and all I'm going to do is cut things and bang things around with no reason for it. So I decided to do the crown in our bathroom once. I forgot we invited some people over. One of them was a skilled carpenter. Skilled. And I forgot, because the ceilings were high, and I didn't see this stuff anymore. Anyways, I put it up. And there are gaps. It had to be an inch big. And I'm like, I'm looking at the math. Now, first of all, I'm not a mathematician. I'm a theologian. That's what I tell everyone. Because Because it's bad. I can do certain fractions, but the Michelle and the kids bug me because they're like, oh, it's 5/8. And I'm like, what? Where's 5/8 again? I don't even know where that is on the spectrum. And so the tape measure I purchased says all the market, and it actually says 5/8, 32nds, 16ths. It says all the little lines because I can do your typical quarter, half, three quarter, and whole, but can't be anywhere else, and it's not going to work, right? Cut it, 2 5/8. It's going to be 2.5 because I don't know where the rest of it is. So I put this crown up, and this carpenter comes in, and I forgot all about it, and I just left it up because I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't even have the energy to take it down. It was so frustrating putting up. And he came out of the bathroom. He goes, hey. I'm like, hey. He goes, nice crown. I'm like, I forgot all about it. God's not going to ask me to build a tabernacle in the woodworking area. And if you're not talented in that way, you give me an engine, I can fix an engine. You give me a 350 Chevy, you give me a Ford, you give me any engine, I will fix it. I have no problem with that. Don't ask me to fix your car, though. It's too frustrating. I can do that stuff, but I can't do woodworking. And your abilities, it doesn't mean I'm less of a person. It means I have giftings elsewhere. So do I try to work with wood? No. Occasionally, just for fun, to see if I still don't have it, to see if God has given me the ability overnight and magically I'm cutting crown and doing edging and look at me, I'm a carpenter like Jesus. No, it's not going to happen. If I build a box, I can't even build a square box. I don't know how to make it square. Again, I wouldn't be a very good Mennonite. They're very good at woodworking, just to let you know. I went to a Mennonite school. They're very good at it. I'm like, do you guys got a mechanic shop around here? They looked at me like, Jesus was a carpenter. He wasn't a mechanic. I'm like, all right then. So I didn't do woodworking. You don't want me in there. Give me a chainsaw, I'll cut your fence down. Wherever I want to cut it. So if you think God's asking you to do something that you're not gifted in, chances are you're wrong. He's not asking you. You just would really like to do it. Or go learn how to do it, take some courses and figure out how to do it. But it's not going to come to you magically overnight. You need to know that God is asking you today. He's asking you to give what you have, whether that be resources, giftings, or abilities. You know what they are. The problem is that many times we have the skill, we have the resources, we have the ability, but we don't want to give it. Or we don't realize we have it because of low self-esteem or low confidence. But I promise you, you do have something to contribute. Maybe you're compassionate and really good at listening. Maybe you have other abilities that others don't have. So you need to know what those are. But I promise you, you have something. And thirdly, God wants us to give willingly. He wants us to give willingly. Even though God has a task, even though he has something he needs done, he will not force you into it. Now, not once in the Bible does he force anyone to do something, to do a task. Now, I follow that with he may push strongly in one direction, but he will not force you to do it. When God called me to ministry, he did not force me. I willingly chose to. He was bugging me a lot about it, but I couldn't get away from it. Like Jonah tried to run from it. I didn't get in the belly of a whale, so that was, positive. But he strongly suggested that I pay attention. And if you look at all the verses that we read earlier, if you look at all the verses that are in there, in that chapter, that are stating all who are willing. All who are willing. Have you ever asked someone to do something and they do it, but they don't do it willingly? Hello? Have you ever been asked to do something and then you didn't want to do it willingly? It's confession time. Let it out. Get it off your chest. It's freeing. Come on. Have you? I have. Try getting a teenager to clean the sink, get the dishes out of there. They don't want to. Try to get a teenager to clean the room. They don't want to. What is it? What is it in the past that you were asked to do? Michelle had asked me to cut the lawn. I don't like cutting the lawn. I'll get to it. She's asking me to do it. But I'm not willingly doing it. I'm out there angry. I don't do it anymore, thank goodness. But I'm angry. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. What does that do for me? Absolutely nothing. Me being miserable not doing it. Or someone asks you, I'm a creature of habit. If I've said to Michelle, hey, we're going home straight after service because of whatever, I just want to go straight home. Michelle can easily take her day and split it up and go, we got to stop here on the way home because it's on the way and you got to do this. And I'm like, no, mentally, I need to go home. Willingly, I don't want to stop. Have I ever stopped? Yes, begrudgingly. Because in my head, I'm willingly wanting to go home. And that's all I want to do. I don't want to do these other things. But what does it do for me? It just makes me miserable. So to have a better attitude, I have to have a better attitude about it. I have to be more flexible. When God asks you to do something, are you more flexible or are you like, no, I have to go home? I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to smile or say hi to that person who looks like they're having a rough day because I want to go home. I don't have time for that. I'm focused. I'm tired. I mean, we can say we're all tired, correct? Yes? How many here are tired? Yeah, exactly, right? You're tired. You've either got kids, you got work, there's other things you're doing. I don't know what they are, but there's lots, and you're tired. And so you don't have time for all this other stuff. And so when God asks you to do something and you're not willing, the next time you're standing in that lineup or you're talking, say, God, use me where I am when you can. Don't let me get in the way of myself because of my own attitude. I need to be more willing. And that's something we all need to work on because we're busy, we're tired. Kind of loses the point. It loses its purpose when we don't do things willingly. If all those people in Israel took all that stuff and were like, ugh, God's making us do this. I don't want to do this. How many have ever seen the little kids in school or in Sunday school where you say, okay, kids, we're going to play a game, and I don't want to play a game. And they just mope around and they're upset and you're like, oh, you're bringing a downer on the whole group. That's what it does. And when God asks you to do that, the whole community is going, they're not doing that with joy. When God asks you, you know it's right. My question to you today is, what is God asking you to do? What is he asking you to give? This week, I'm going to ask the band to come forward and get ready to play a last song for you. But this week, ask God as you go through your daily, sometimes it can be mundane, regular routine, as you go through your day, ask God to help show you, first of all, your gifts and what he wants you to do. And I think we need to think about having a good attitude of offering what we have and work together to see God's will be done in our lives and in the lives of others that we come into contact with. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even in some of the scriptures that maybe seem a little dry, a little more like lists, we thank you that we can pull your word, we can pull something out of it where you speak to us. And I ask this morning, those that maybe think they don't have giftings, that don't think they have abilities, that don't think they can be used by you, I just ask that you would work in their heart and work in their minds that they are valuable and they have abilities and they have something to give back. For those that have the skills, ability, resources, stir in their hearts of what you want them to do as well and give them a good attitude of giving, whether it's abilities, resources, or skills. And so we thank you for this week. Help us to have a great week. Safe driving as we go in our different directions. Thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do this year. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you have a great week.